I take your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Pastor's out today. Miss Tanya made him sick this week. And I got the call at 7:30 this morning. Actually, I got the text. The call didn't go through, so I tried to ignore it. I was like, no. I love to preach. I hate when pastor's sick. But Lord, take care of him. So let's preach. Nah, do pray for Pastor. He's out today, so pray for him. A lot of folks out sick, a lot out on vacation. So let's get right into the Word of God today. And 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15, we'll begin there, if you will. Two things Peter talks about in 1 and 2 Peter, predominantly in 2 Peter. He talks about two main things. One is the Word of God. Two is the coming of God. Coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Two things that he deals with. And we're going to deal about the Word of God today. And we'll preach on this subject. What a word. What a word the Word of God is. By the way, I hope that you just keep falling in love with the Bible. If you ever fall in love with the Bible, you're going to be in trouble. And we need a foundation. We taught that in class this morning. And that the Bible is our foundation of faith. It is our sole authority. It's not my opinion, your opinion, it's God's Word that is our foundation. We must build upon the Word of God. And I was encouraging my Sunday school class today, or our Sunday school class today, it's not mine, the Lord's Sunday school class today, is that get in the Word of God, read it, love it, and I'm telling you what, it'll change your life. A lot of people say, well, I don't understand it, just keep reading. Get you a Webster's Dictionary, get you a commentary, help you out. But just keep reading and reading the Word of God, and you'll see a change in your life. Because this is how we grow. We grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ through the Word of God. How are you going to know more about God? Read about God, right? So if you'll look there with me in verse 15, the Bible says, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. So Peter says, now once I die, I hope all these things are in your remembrance. He says, for we have not followed, now notice this, cunning, now notice this, devise fables. In other words, we've not told you things that we just kind of got from, you know, we use the word old wives' tales, right? You know, that's just old wives' tale. That's just something somebody came up with, you know. A lot of cures are that way, you know. Put mayonnaise on this, put vinegar on this. Some of that works, but a lot of it doesn't work. You just stink worse than you did when you got out, you know. And I've tried some of those before, and I'm like, okay, who wrote that one up? That's some mama somewhere that was going to get her kids back for all that they'd done to them. Like, here, put this glue right there. That'll help. Yeah. But notice what he says again. He says, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Notice what Peter said. Now, Peter kind of takes them back to the Mount Transfiguration, and he begins to tell them what he saw. He says, we were eyewitnesses of the majesty and the glory of the Lord. What a day that would have been. You know, I mean, you think about it. Wouldn't that have been great to be on that day when Mount Transfiguration, when the Lord went up and he transfigured himself, his glory was being shown and the great light around him, and they saw that. They were eyewitnesses. But notice what else he says. Verse 17, he says, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellence glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And he says, notice verse 18, he said, not only did we see a miraculous and magnificent sight of Christ, he says, verse 18, he says, and this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mountain. In other words, Peter says, we saw him, we were eyewitnesses of this glorious transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ. But also we heard the voice of God say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Whoa, what a day. Could you imagine being there on that day? The Lord Jesus Christ rises up off a mountain transfiguration and the glory of God and the honor of God's upon him. And you're seeing this with your eyes. And boy, I mean, I'd be excited. And all of a sudden you hear from heaven. We don't know what God's voice sounds like, but I'm just telling you that it said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I believe I would have shouted hallelujah. I believe I would have said amen. I believe I would have probably ran a little bit and said, I just seen and I just heard something that nobody else has ever seen and something that nobody else has ever heard of this day. What a glorious day that would have been. But notice what he says, though, in verse 19. He says, we have also. Now notice what he says here. A more sure word of prophecy. In other words, Peter says, we seen it with our eyes. We heard it with our ears. Oh, but today, we have something that's better. You say, what's better? Wait a minute. What could be better than seeing and hearing the Word of God? It's far better. By the way, I said this in class today, is that eyewitness accounts change, don't they? You know, you ever watch the news? One person sees it this way, one person sees it this way. You even go back to the first person. Well, now he sees it differently. It's always amazing. You know, people get exonerated from prison because witnesses change, right? Well, maybe I didn't see it like that. Maybe, you know, over time they start thinking about it more, it changes. But notice what happens in verse 21. It says, for the prophecy came not in old by the will of man. In other words, what we have here in the Scripture was not man's will, not man's opinion. But notice what happened. He says, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In other words, the Holy Spirit of God wrote the Word of God, and it's a more sure word because it will never change. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will not, Jesus said. It is forever and ever settled in heaven. I'm glad I can trust the Word of God. There's hundreds of versions of the Bible. You can get them all colors and brands, and now you can get them even waterproof. But I'm glad I hold today the very Word of God in my hands. I'm glad today that I can trust the Word of God. I'm glad that I can take my Bible and I can put my faith in what God is saying to me to be the true and inspired Word of God. We'll talk about what a word after we pray. Father, we love You today. God, I certainly need Your power. Lord, I pray You clean me today. Pray, God, that I stand before You a clean man. I pray even my thoughts and my intents today are clean. Lord, we know that Your Word is sharp, powerful, than any two-edged sword, piercing even the vine asunder of the thoughts, God. And You said that You are a discerner of those. And so, Father, I ask that You take my life now. Use it, God. I lay it upon Your altar, God, and just ask that You would help me to preach, God, with all the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit within me today. Lord, I yield myself to You. Lord, I pray You speak to hearts. I pray that we fall in love with our Bible today in Jesus' name. Amen. Three things this morning about this word. What a word. Number one, it is an assuring word. It is an assuring word of God. Now notice what he says in verse 19. The Bible says, we also have... Now notice what he says. We have also a more sure word. That word sure is an assuring word. I like things that are sure, right? Don't you love whenever you get a quote? It's going to be $349. It's never going to be that. And it's never going to be cheaper. Somebody say amen. Right? It's always going to be double, right? Well, Mr. Wiggins, after looking at this, we've realized that we have... Of course you have. I've already come bringing $1,000 because I knew it was going to cost me more, right? Right? I brought aluminum cans and food stamps with me. We're going to pay for this thing. You know, so sometimes things that people say are just estimates, they're eyewitness account, but God said, when you read the Word of God, it is a sure word, and by the way, it is an assuring word to us, and we can put our faith and our confidence, and by the way, I put all that I have in the Word of God. You know, whenever I joined the fire department many years ago, they gave me the protocols. And, of course, we had EMS, too, so you had two sets of protocols, one for the firefighting, one for EMS, and I had to learn both of them. I said, oh, joy. You had to learn what your protocols were, standing orders, and all these things that you had to know. And I'm telling you what, they'd come back and they'd have a revised version. About time I learned it. Well, we were going to change this and change this. I'm like, seriously. I was there 3 years down in Burnett at the fire department there, and I think they changed it 4 times while I was there. They changed this and changed that. And I'm telling you, I never could learn it. You just guess that. You know, how much meta? I don't know. Just give them a mess. And, you know, whatever it is. You know, when their eyes close, that's too much. You know, whenever they're running around the back of the ambulance, that's way too much, too. You know, and you think about all these things that change. And by the way, doesn't churches change? Things change. People's philosophy changes. But God said, my word will never change. I like putting my faith in something I know that's not going to change. My wife loves me dearly. I know she does. Because she writes it down, says, I love you on text. That's how I know, right? I know my wife loves me, but you know what? I've changed a little bit. Next year we'll be married 20 years. Amen, that's pretty good to put up with me. We were buying pants for Brody the other day. I'm not going to tell you what size he wears. But they're one size bigger than whenever I graduated. I was a little feller. I wore 29 pants whenever I graduated. I wear 29 and a half now, but a 30. I go 30, just give me a little room in there. But I was a wee little man, and wee little man was I. If there was a sycamore tree, I would have climbed up in it. But I was a little man. My wife married that little man, and my ministry began to grow. And as Pastor says, I'm still in shape. It's just a different shape, right? And I'm a little bit bigger than that now. I weighed 135 pounds when we got married in 1997. Six. I was called in 97. 96. And I was 135 pounds soaking wet. I mean, I was in shape. All these great things. But you know what? I've changed a little bit, hadn't I? You know? We all change a little bit, don't we? Somebody say amen and hit your husband. We all change. We're changing people. Our thought process has changed. I don't think the same way I thought whenever I was a teenager. Whenever I got kids, my thought process changed. When I became a pastor, my thought process changed. Whenever I was a youth pastor, my thought process changed. Whenever I become associate pastor, my thought process. Now I got another job, administrator. My thought process is changing again. Your thoughts in your life, they change constantly. And so you say, well, what I need? I need something that's going to anchor me. I need something in my life. Yes, I'm going to change. We're going to grow older. We're going to think of things differently. Hey, listen, used to when I was young, I didn't worry about death. Man, I'd ride a motorcycle. I'd go through a flame of fire. I thought that'd be cool. Four-wheelers, I mean, I'd ride them. I'd drive off cliffs, everything. I mean, you know, but now I'm like, no. I could die. These crazy people jump out of planes, perfectly good planes. I'm like, why? I don't understand that, Miss Fiesler did that. I'm not that person anymore. My thought process. So I need something in my life that's going to anchor me, something that's going to be always constant, and that is going to be the Word of God. It's not going to change. It's not going to ever be something that God says, you know what, I meant to put that in there. I need to go back. He's not going to do that, my friends. It's an assuring word you can put your faith and put your trust in. And by the way, you can teach it to your kids, and when they get older, it's still going to be relevant to them. It's still going to be powerful to them, or should be. And by the way, whenever you're a teenager, whenever you read the Word of God, the Word of God's going to be more to you, I hope, when you grow older, but it's going to be the same word. It'll be a sure word to you. So Peter said. Peter said, I saw it and I heard, but the Word of God's better. Most of us today, if we took a poll today, I said, well, how many of you would rather read your Bible or see Jesus? We'd probably all write, I'd rather see Jesus. But here's what Peter's saying. If you read your Bible, you'll see Jesus in a true manner that will not change. The Jesus that saved me back in 1994 is the same Jesus that I live for today. He's not changed one bit. God said, I'm God and I change not. His word changes not. It's an assuring word to us. Now, it's the second thing. I believe the Word of God is not only an assuring word, but I believe it should be an addicting word. I believe as we look at this, notice what he says again in verse 19. He says, we also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well. Now, notice what he says, to take heed. He said to take heed. Well, I looked up the word heed because I have a dictionary. And here's what it said. To turn the mind to be attentive, to apply to oneself, to attach oneself. But notice what the last part of this, I didn't write this, Webster did. He said to be given to or addicted to. That's what the word heed means. In other words, the Christian, whenever he don't read his Bible, he ought to have a little. You ever seen somebody that's addicted to something? All the addicted people, after they eat, they got to go outside. All the people that watch ball games have to have something in their hand. And if they don't get it, they start twitching a little bit. Right? Wouldn't it be great if Christians forgot to read their Bible one day and they're just like, what's wrong with me today? People think you're crazy. But if you're addicted to something, you can't go without it. Wouldn't it be great? We hear this all the time. I read this little poem about, you know, what if my Bible was my phone? I'd never forget it, and I'd never take my hands off of it, never take my eyes off of it, and I'd read it every day over and over again. Ain't that true? Boy, wouldn't it be good if we just get addicted to the Word of God? Wouldn't it be good that whenever we open up the doors on Sunday morning and we get here a little after 8 and we open those doors, there's people lining up out there because they want to hear the Word of God? Not because we're great preachers, not because we got great programs in our church, but because the Word of God's a powerful Word and that they're so addicted to it that they're just knocking on the door saying, hey, why don't we have church Monday night? Why don't we have church Tuesday night? That we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some is, but so much so more as we see the day approaching. Why is that? Because people ought to be addicted to the Bible. The preacher ought to be the pusher. The Bible pusher. Amen? The Sunday school teachers should get you addicted to your Bibles. I know our teachers at our church. I know we got wonderful teachers. We got Brother Zellner on Thursday nights. There's some people that are addicted to their Bible here at the church. I can see you. Oh, we're done with the Institute? Some of us have been wanting to have summer school, Brother Zellner. They're just like, hey, can we have summer school? For my Sunday school class, they're always like, are you done yet? I don't know what's happened there. Guess he's gone. But man, we should be so addicted to our Bibles. This should be the light to our pathway. A light into our path. And when I can't read this, I ought to just go crazy. You know what? We have no excuse not to read the Bible. I have it on my phone, on my computer. I have it in my hand. I have a copy in every vehicle I have. In my truck, I have two of them in there. I have a full Bible, and I have a New Testament. In our Suburban, I have a New Testament in my... I have probably 30 Bibles. I don't know. I have them all over. I have the Bible in my... I have two apps on my phone that one of them reads to me. And he's got a pleasant voice. Matthew chapter 27. I love it. When I can't read the words, he begot, the guy reads them to me and pronounces them right, I guess. I have another app where I can just read it myself. Folks, I'll tell you what, we should be addicted to the Word of God. We should be addicted to the Word of God. When you can't come to church, I believe she's just wanting to come to church. And boy, here we are. We can just stay out of church for no reason. But here we are, we got Miss Roberta with cancer. And I believe she's just itching to come to church, wanting to come to church and hear the Word of God preach and be with us. I hope so. And I'm telling you what, we ought to get addicted to the Word of God. Take heed. Now notice the last thing. Now notice I love this one. It is an awakening word. Notice, if you will, in verse 19, he says, we also have a more sure word of prophecy. It's an assuring word. Whereunto you do well that you take heed. You addict yourself to it. But notice the next thing. As unto a light that shineth into a dark place. Well, I'll tell you what, the day I got saved, the light came on. I'm telling you, I can't explain it. And when you got saved, you probably know what I'm talking about. If you're not saved here, you have not a clue what we're talking about. But I came down to the altar. I was sitting back there where Brother Moore was. And I came down. I never will forget it. I came down to the altar. It was a little small church in the middle of nowhere in Enon, Florida. Look it up on your map. There's more people in the cemetery than there is in the church. I came down and I knelt right there. It was a revival meeting. I was there because I love the Lord. Maybe there was a girl there. And I came and I knelt down at the altar. And I never will forget, I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I got up from that altar. I'm going to tell you what. It seemed like all of the burdens of my life, that I was a lighter person. I tell you what, just my thought was changing. You know why? Because I'm no longer bound for hell. I'm bound for heaven now. I no longer am a son of the devil. I'm a son of God now. I've been bought with a price, son. I'm telling you what, when I walked out of there, you know what? I wanted to tell everybody I knew that Jesus had saved me and that He'll save them too. Boy, I got excited. Why? Because I was dead in trespasses and sin, and the Holy Spirit had quickened you, made me alive. He woke me up. We were dead from Adam. But we're alive from Jesus Christ. Boy, it's an awakening word, isn't it? Boy, I remember I was sitting there. I can't tell you the whole message the man was preaching. But I remember sitting there. And all of a sudden, I was sitting there. And I was the only one in that church. Now, there was probably only 30 people there that night, maybe. I remember that man was preaching his heart out. He was preaching, and he preached about hell and all these things. He preached that Jesus saved you. And I remember all of a sudden, I looked around, nobody was at the church with me, but me and that preacher and God. Now, obviously, I didn't see God, but I saw the preacher. And I was like, me? The Lord said, yeah, you. I'm talking to you. This message is just for you. And by the way, look at what God's done. It's all God anyway. I mean, a boy who nobody, I mean, you know, a small little church, there may have been 30 people there that night, and God's used me all these years in the ministry. Hallelujah. Boy, that was an awakening word, and I fell in love with the Word of God. I remember as a teenager in my life, and of course, me and my wife, Donnie, were together, and boy, I couldn't read the Bible enough because it awoke me. I was dead in my trespasses and sin, and God had quickened me through the Holy Spirit of God. Well, there's a lot of corpses laying around this world today that are dead in their trespasses and sin. From the fall of man, they are dead. But I'm going to tell you what, Jesus Christ, through the Word of God, can awaken you. The Word of God awaken you. By the way, if you're spiritually sleeping today, some of y'all are going, what are we having for lunch today? Brother Lada said it's potluck. I wonder if anybody brought anything. I'm going to have to go across the street and get something from Subway. I mean, we can just start thinking like that, can't we? Or we can start thinking, you know what? Nobody knows what I'm going through. Why is God doing this to me? Why is God putting me through this? Why am I... By the way, you can start getting that way and you can get down and down and down. God will use, or the devil will use discouragement. But I'll tell you what, God will awaken you out of that discouragement. God will awaken you out of that spiritual deadness that you're in, that carnality that you're in, that coldness that you have. God will awaken you out of that. Notice what he says. I love this next part of this verse. And I'm going to be done here in just a minute. So hold on. We're going to eat quick. Notice what he says. Until the day dawn. Now, you say, wait a minute, what day is that? Well, we're going to get in that. Notice the next part. The day star arise in your hearts. Peter's speaking to saved people. Peter's saying that day when things start making sense to you, when you're spiritually awakened out of your dead sleep, whether it be spiritually or whether it be physically, but we're talking spiritually today, is that whenever the light comes on, don't you love it when you're teaching kids and the light comes on? The light came on for my kids differently. You know, Shelby and Brody were different. And the light came on earlier for Brody than it was for Shelby. You know? And you know what? Shelby's a thinker. Brody's a thinker. And then all of a sudden, you see it. Boom. I get it. But you know what I like too? Is that as a saved person, even us sometimes that light, Brother Clark or Brother Zellner or somebody other than me is teaching, you go, oh. You're like, are they reading? Really, is that in the Bible? Don't you like that when that happens? I just want to say, glory! I love whenever I'm going to preachers' meetings and a preacher's preaching, I'm going, I've been studying this book for over 20 years. I didn't see that. Now I do. And the light comes on and that day star rises in my heart. And Jesus is just getting a little more preeminent in my life where He should be. And I'm seeing more of Him. And by the way, that ought to be we are to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That is the goal of every Christian. Obviously, we're not going to make it until we get to heaven. But you know what? That day star begins to rise in your life. And you begin to understanding the Bible more. And it rises and more and more. I give you this and I'm done. Talking about this day star arising in your heart. This marvelous illumination in your life. The Holy Spirit helping you to understand the Word of God. I looked up that word day star, and of course morning star means the same word in the Greek. I'm going to mispronounce it, but I'm going to say it fancy so you don't know the difference. It's called phosphorus. We know it as phosphorus. Say it fancy, it sounds good. Phosphorus. That's Italian. But it comes from the day star means phosphorus, which we know that word as phosphorus, right? Same word, different spelling. It's where we get our English word phosphorus. Well, I looked up the word phosphorus. I Googled it. Between Google and Siri, you can learn everything you need to know. You don't have to use a library anymore. Amen? You don't have to have books anymore. You just ask her, Siri, what day is it? She'll tell you. Well, this is what Google told me. Wikipedia, which is not a wicked place. It says, phosphorus means light bringer. The word phosphorus, our English word, phosphorus, means light bringer. And I'll tell you that the name of the planet Venus is named phosphorus. It means phosphorus, and it precedes the morning sun. Morning sun comes, Venus is right there, it precedes it. Now notice this, I want to give you this, because this is, I just took this from Google. It means a glow after illumination. If you take a piece of phosphorus and you shine a light on it, it glows. In other words, that day star, that light bringer that Jesus is, He glows in our life. In other words, when we're saved, Jesus comes and lives in us. We're now the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. We have light inside of us. No longer is the light shining at us, but now shining through us, in us and through us. But here's the way is that to make your light grow and make it glow better is to go to the Word of God and get a hold of this morning star, this phosphorus, and allow it to glow. They were showing a picture, you can look this up, on white phosphorus that once it's illuminated to light, you put it in dark, it still glows. Hello, Christian. You come to church, I hope, to get that spotlight turned on you. So when you go out in the lost world, you're still glowing. Woo, I'm glad I know phosphorus. I'm glad I know the day star. Now notice this, it gets better. I just wrote this stuff down. This is true stuff. It forms the cell membrane which protects the nucleus of cells. By the way, you know your DNA has phosphorus in it? Your body is made up. Matter of fact, one of the things in your blood is phosphorus. Without it, you die. Without Jesus Christ, you die. I love that picture of a cell membrane. The membrane of a cell is pliable, but it protects the nucleus inside of that. That membrane on the outside, this is an anatomy and physiology lesson, is made up of phosphorus. It protects what's inside it. That's what He does. He protects me, and He causes me to glow. Woo, glory. You could preach that. I didn't even come up with it. It was there. And then it got better because it says this. It says that it is found predominantly in three forms. Phosphorus is found in three forms. Number one, it's found white for the purity of Christ. Look this up. I'm not making this stuff up, people. Look it up on Wikipedia. This is what it said. It says it comes in three forms, predominantly white, which is pure, which is standing for the glory and the purity of Jesus Christ. Number two, it comes in red, stands for the blood. Whew. Phosphorus helps keep you clean and lets you glow. Number two, it is part of your blood and causes you to live. But number three, it comes in scarlet. Glory. I just wrote down what Wikipedia told me. Folks, I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for the blood and the royalty of Christ in our life, for the purity of Christ in our life, I'm telling you what, friends, it is the Word of God. And by the way, the Word is Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 tells us that He is the Word. And the Word was with God and the Word was God. Can I tell you today is that we need the phosphorus in our life. We need a more sure word. You know what I hope? I know I teach Sunday school and I administrator out of school and all these fancy titles that mean nothing. You know what I wrote down? I was writing down goals for being an administrator at the school. I wrote down goals. Pastor, when I came on staff here, he made us write down goals. What were we going to try to accomplish? I look back on that from time to time and realize I'm a failure. But there's one area that I wrote for both of them and didn't even realize it. And the one was that I just pray that people that I get to be in charge of, or whatever you, term you want to be, is that I hope they just fall in love with the Word of God and grow thereby. And you know what? The reason I teach the Sunday school is not so people can look at a thing from Heritage Baptist Church, go to our website and see my picture up there. I hope that the reason I teach Sunday school, I know Brother Clark and Brother Cox and all these guys, all these Sunday school teachers, I hope your desire is just for your class to fall in love with this. Not with me, but with this. I'm going to change. Brother Clark's going to change. Brother Cox's going to change. All these teachers are going to change, but the Word of God's not going to change. You need this to give you light so when you go into a dark world, you're still glowing. Remember when Moses came down off the top of Mount Sinai? He had to wear a veil in front of his face just because he had just seen the afterglow. Can you imagine him coming down? They're like, oh no, he's done changed religions. But he came down with a veil over his face because the glow of just the afterglow. He just seen the after effects of God's glory. And of course, he put the veil upon him because the people wouldn't have been able to stand it. You know what they said? Uh-oh, he'd been with God. You know what ought to happen with us when we leave church? People out there at the restaurant are say, what is wrong with them people? There's something about them. See those people sitting over there? There's a glow about them. Amen. Why? Because we've been with God. That's why I don't want to go to church for entertainment purposes. I don't want to come to church for any man or woman. I want to come to church just for Him. And I want to hear the more sure Word of God that I know that I can trust. I want to hear from God. I want God to glow in my life. I want that phosphorus.